Hi guys, how have you all been? It's your girl, okay, the hosting creator of the Okay Show. So I know I have been ill for the past 2 weeks, but that is because I have a personal project that I am currently working on, and it's taken all of my time, so I didn't have spare time actually to record and do some other things because I'm putting myself into it, and there is this thing too I'm also learning, and I need to, you know, put myself into it. And to everybody that called in to check on me, to everybody that sent me a DM or a message on WhatsApp, please thank you very much. I'm fine, I'm healed and hearty. Thanks for checking on me. And if this is your first time coming across the Okay Show podcast, my name is Okay, like I said earlier, and this podcast is themed around societal issues. And one of such issues is cancel culture. And today I want to discuss why cancel culture is toxic. Now, I've seen a lot of conversations happening around the phenomenon of cancel culture. Now, for those of you who do not know what cancel culture means, it's the premise behind it. This ideology is to cancel or cut out or stop being friends with or stop engaging or stop patronizing anybody who allegedly perpetuates problematic behavior repeatedly. Now, from R. Kelly to Harvey Weinstein to Chris Brown to Kanye to Taylor Swift to most recently we have James Charles, to even come down to Nigeria, we have Maraji, we have what's the name of that comedian again? Ibiye, and a whole lot of them who have being cancelled by society. Now, the thing about being cancelled is it's not just celebrities that have been cancelled, although celebrities are actually on the receiving end of this the most, but we also have businesses. For instance, H&M did a campaign like 2 or 3 years ago, and they used a black boy who wore a shirt that has this racist undertones to it, and this thing happened in South Africa, and African Americans took it upon themselves to, you know, call out H&M for their sort of racism and said, oh, they will cancel H&M and all that. But we know how much H&M declared, but that is by the way. Now, from what I explained about cancel culture, it is a very noble thing, right? It is like the whole idea behind it, cancel, cut out people who perpetuate problematic behaviors, or people who are repeat abusers of people and power, like in the case of R. Kelly and Harvey Weinstein. Now, we should hold people accountable. I believe in that. And however, that is not what cancel culture has given us. At least in the last 2 or 3 years, that is not what cancel culture has given us. Instead, we see people with personal vendettas come out and try to single out and ostracize one person due to personal beef or the fact that he had issues, and that could have never, you know, issues that could have been avoided, that could have been talked about over phone or over WhatsApp or over whatever it is, without you trying to use your power and influence to try to cancel somebody just because you have beef with them. Now, some people also forget the fact that we do not care about your personal beef with somebody else. It's none of our business. Let me say that again. It is not our business. If you choose to, if Genevieve and Omotola are fighting and one person is coming out to tell the world, not, of course, I mean, Genevieve and Omotola are not going to be those people they were. I mean, they used to have this beef while I was growing up, but they have outgrown all of that nonsense, and they are both queens doing amazing things for themselves, and I don't think they are in that place where they have to compete or throw each other under the bus anymore. Now, growth, baby, growth. So as I was saying, nobody cares about your personal beef with anybody. So if you're trying to use your influence and power to get people to stop, you know, fucking with some other people, and, you know, stop engaging them, and please just stop it. Please just stop it. Why conducting research on the toxicity of cancel culture? Five reasons kept on reoccurring in the articles and blog posts and personal opinions that on social media apps like Facebook and Twitter. Now, these five reasons are: 1. Cancel culture discourages growth. 2. It censors freedom of speech. 3. It encourages victimhood, hypocrisy, and narcissism. 4. It discourages humanness. 5. It's a very, very big reason why so many people have mental illnesses and diseases and sicknesses. Now, those five reasons, I'm going to explain them in details based on my opinions and my understanding about this one, which is cancel culture discourages growth. Cancel culture is based on ignorance and enforces the idea that we can't grow and learn from our mistakes. Now, cancel culture came into the picture to help hold people accountable, or at least I'd like to think that is one of the reasons for its existence. Now, we've seen the likes of R. Kelly, Harvey Weinstein, and some others pay for their crime. They deserve to be cancelled, right? Because for me, I feel like R. Kelly and Harvey Weinstein are repeat abusers of power and people, and yes, they deserve to be totally cancelled. Cancel culture, that is the reason why cancel culture came into existence. Now, the thing about accountability is to point out people's mistakes to them, for them to learn, not to put them down permanently. Now, cancel culture does the exact opposite. Like, it's like the relish in the idea of trying to take away food from your mouth just because, you know, you're a different person, or there's something you tweeted when you were still a teenager in high school, and now 15 years later, right now you're 30 and you've acquired more knowledge, you've had to, you know, meet more people, you've been exposed to much more cultures and diversity and all of that, and maybe, just maybe, your ideologies have changed. And just because you're a famous person and, you know, someone who is always on the covers of magazines, billboards, you're on stage, you're an actor, you're a very popular person, basically a celebrity, you say something new and somebody goes back to dig up tweets from when you were in high school, when you were, you know, 15 years old. This is what cancel culture does, you know. Now, for instance, yeah, let me use like a very much more popular example. For instance, Kevin Hart's homophobic tweets that resurfaced and made him lose the Oscars gig. I don't know if you could remember, Kevin Hart was supposed to host, I think, the 2018 or was the 2019 Oscars, I can't really remember, but then some people from the LGBTQ, WSYZ, and all of that went to dig up tweets from when he was in high school, where he said his son should not even think about being gay. Now, that is in America. Hollywood is really controlled by the Democrats, and one of the Democrats' ideologies is freedom for you to choose whatever sex you want to be whatever sex you want to be, and somehow they're in control of who gets what in Hollywood. So whether you like it or not, you have to be on the side of LGBTQ, you have to acknowledge their existence, you have to support them, you have to do this. So somehow they all came together and tried to cancel Kevin Hart, and then tried to, you know, they got him to apologize, and then Kelvin dropped the whole Oscars gig because it was crazy. This is someone that grew up in a Christian home. He went to church. He was always by his mom's side. I mean, if you read his biography and stuff. And then if you're a Christian, you know that one of the things Christians believe in is the fact that there are only two sexes, male and female. Now, just because Kevin Hart is an entertainer does not mean that he cannot, you know, talk about his faith or talk about things, ideologies that or principles he believes in and stuff. Oh, I do not want my son to be gay. I don't think anything is wrong with that. It's not disrespecting gay rights, but that's by the way. So I'm just trying to, you know, create a scenario to support the fact that cancel culture discourages growth. Now, another thing is, now at the time, we need to understand another thing, situation, time, and all that. At the time Kevin made those tweets, it wasn't seen as homophobia, because a lot of people, even in Hollywood, even in the United States of America, hold same view. Like, it wasn't seen as homophobic tweets or any of that. And we fail to understand that humans are ever evolving and that they can drop and pick up certain habits and ideologies as they grow and evolve. In the case of Kevin Hart, he said he is not that person. That if his son is gay right now, he wouldn't care and stuff. So yeah, that is him evolving. That is him choosing, oh, I don't think this is bad. I don't think this is as bad as it gets. Or, you know, you can see that, oh, he's not that same person who held that view from how many years ago. Now, it really does not make sense. Now, we should always give room for errors because no one is infallible. We should always give room for errors. And it's part of our human nature to earn and learn from our mistakes. If you are woke and progressive today, it's because you unlearned and relearned certain things to fit into today's society standards. Now, accord people the same opportunity to do so. Do it. Don't think all because you've gone from one dimension to another in your quest for knowledge, you see yourself as woke and progressive means that the other person who is yet to get to that point of knowledge that you've gotten to is, you know, much more inferior. And then you, when the person comes and say, oh, this is what I believe in, or this is what I think about this thing, you actually try to shut down the person and then be condescending towards that person and stuff. All your knowledge is a waste for me. I mean, one of the things I think makes you woke and progressive, it's not because you have left-leaning ideologies or because you have right-leaning ideologies, it's because you know enough to know that as humans, we are so diverse that one ideology cannot be for everybody else. So my second reason, freedom of speech. We're all raised in different cultural, religious, and socio-economic backgrounds. And this means that our thoughts, we differ. We all won't react to or have the same opinions on certain issues or even share the same principles or ideologies. Impossible. Cancel culture does not seem to understand it. It seems to say, oh, we must all share the same ideology or we should forget our daily bread. In fact, if I don't share some belief as you, I have to shut up. It's stifling freedom of speech. It's censoring free speech. Why should only one ideology be acceptable in life? Where is the education and beauty in that? Censorship stifles growth for both the cancelled and the people doing the cancellation. Because it is not encouraging roundtable discuss where everyone can come out with their own opinion and we try to understand their point of view even if we do not agree with them. Do you understand? But then we try to understand, we're like, oh, I understand you, but I do not agree with them. At the end of the day, we come to a consensus. Do you understand? And then, but cancel culture doesn't give room for any of this. Now, you have people like Dave Chappelle, you have Kanye West, who have been brave enough to come out and say, oh, I have a different political ideology from the average African-American. And Kanye West especially, he was cancelled. He said he was he's a traitor to the African-American race and all of that. Now, personally, I feel like people took Kanye's comments out of context, because he was talking about, what he was talking about was not literally, I feel like it was a metaphor for you. Slavery has happened. There is nothing you can change about it. Now, you can choose to acknowledge that it happened and still move on from it, not allowing yourself dwell in it every single time, where, you know, to the point where everything that happens, you play the victim. You understand? Now, it censors free speech. It also, there is this danger of a single story narrative that cancel culture runs with. Or one person just comes and say, oh, this is how it happened. And because probably that person is everyone's favorite, they go ahead and cancel the other party that is involved without even giving the other party an opportunity for them to tell their story. For instance, Taylor Swift and Kim Kardashian issues, where Kanye released his album and then, you know, something about a phone call with, okay, Taylor Swift came and said, oh, she didn't give Kanye the go ahead to do this. And Kanye was like, oh, you did. Taylor Swift was like, no, you did not. And, you know, already there's this bad history between Taylor Swift and Kanye due to the whole, oh, Beyonce deserves this, blah, 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 and all of that nonsense. But that's by the way. So after a while, Kim Kardashian releases a video of Kanye making that phone call to Taylor Swift on her reality TV, Keeping Up with the Kardashians. And somehow, people that canceled Kanye West before decided to cancel Taylor Swift. And, you know, the whole snake thing that I tried. Twitter is a really funny place. So, but then you get my point. It centers this whole danger of a single story. Is cancel culture perpetuates it a lot. Now, for my third reason, it encourages victimhood, hypocrisy, and narcissism. Now, one of the cons of cancel culture is that we are breeding a generation of narcissistic people. People who are so engrossed with themselves. They think they're infallible, they're literal walking perfection, they can do no wrong in the eyes of the public and all of that, forgetting that tomorrow is pregnant. My people, the Igbo people, will say Echi Dimi, meaning tomorrow is pregnant. Now, as for hypocrisy, people are now scared of saying what they truly feel just because they do not want to be cancelled. So you have people virtue signaling or saying something else in front of the camera or on Twitter, why they do something else or leave a different life behind when the camera is not in their faces. Nah. Cancel culture is also hypocritical in the sense that one is subject to cancellation if they are not a favorite. Cue in Donald Trump versus Joe Biden in the whole Me Too movement and sexual offending thing. I'm not going to talk more on that. Just go and do the research by yourself. Now, the rule does not apply to everybody. Some people get away with things that other people have been cancelled for. Okay, just recently, There's this thing that's been trending on Nigerian Twitter, you know, where you say stamp stuff, you know, and people go and dig your old tweets, and then they caption it, "This you." Recently, everybody's, okay, not mine, social media's favorite fashion guy that is not Ebuka Obi-Chendo, because Ebuka Obi-Chendo is my favorite one. Now, his name is Daniel Lagrey, and Adele, you know, weight loss picture was trending online a day after her birthday, or was it her birthday, and everybody had a lot to say. Some people were like, "Oh, I prefer the fat Adele." Some people were like, "Oh, I prefer her now slimmer and stuff." And Daniel Lagrey actually quoted one of those tweets and was like, "Do not comment on people's bodies." And people went to dig out his tweets from when he was in college, and all of the tweets were fat shaming people, literally. And he goes on, "Oh yeah, that's me, but I've grown and stuff." And now suddenly, because he is a fave, people now decided that, "Oh, you can grow, from things like that." Meanwhile, prior to that day, the moment you are caught pants down being or saying stuff like that, you'll be dragged for the rest of the day. In fact, that is when you will find out that people actually hate or like you. Now, like I said, it's subjective to who is being cancelled. Now, on victimhood, people now blame everything else but themselves, especially mental health. Hey, mental health is not like the best excuse for everybody and anybody that wants to escape anything without, you know, coming out to say, "Oh, I made a mistake" and stuff. So they just blame it. "Oh, I was in a bad place mentally. I was depressed. I had anxiety. So that is not me. I was just this one, that one, can't. You know what it is. So it makes people play the victim when they are called out on their bullshit, because they realize that it works like magic. So now what everybody does is they play that mental health card, and because they know, "Oh, people were like, oh, you don't know what it's like to live in their shoes." Now, I'm not saying that people or mental health is not real. It is very real. Like, I've not seen anything as real as that stuff. But then I can say, or you can agree with me, that mental health is real. And then the fact that people are using mental health as a tool to escape accountability is also real, thus encouraging victimhood. Activism spaces are very guilty of this. They are the number one perpetrators of this whole hypocrisy, victimhood, and all of that. It's them. Now, for my third reason, discourages humanness. Cancel culture discourages humanness because part of our genetic makeup as humans is our ability to think and have thoughts that, and these thoughts can never be the same. And this is evident in decisions we make. It's part of our genetic makeup to do stupid things and make stupid decisions. And sometimes it's really just a phase we're going through. Now, from one bad decision to another, and after a while, we grow from it. And now imagine being judged or cancelled based on something you did as a teenager. As a teenager, what did you know? What did you know about life? What did you know about how many things have you been exposed to? Seriously, how many? Now, does it make sense that 5 years down the line or 10 years down the line, where you're not like a corporate space, you've probably moved that from the environment or the state where you grew up in, and you've come to like a metropolitan city where you've seen people from different walks of life on like that small street or town that you grew up in, where you literally knew everybody and everybody knows who you are? You know, now this four profession we are trying to perpetuate is
false. It is not real, because humans, we are too, only Nigeria alone, how many tribes and cultures, how many religions do we have? And then you expect that we'll have the same ideology or we'll have the same thinking about the same thing. It's for reality, really. That's what it is. And we should also remember that nobody is infallible, and it's a reach to expect anyone to be. Really. Cancel culture is discouraging human mental health. Now, depression, anxiety are on the rise because living is now like walking on eggshells, especially for very famous people, mostly not even actors and artists and actresses and the rest of them, but really even billionaires, even businessmen and all that, they're not even spared from it. People are literally scared of expressing themselves. Someone may be offended by the way you are breathing or dancing or praising God or for being anti-abortion or being pro-abortion or saying you are not a feminist or saying that you're a feminist. Everybody is now so sensitive. Everybody is now so, it's like we're all sitting on a time bomb waiting to explode. Now, these things take a toll on people's psychology, and we aren't seeing that because we are too engrossed in ourselves and our idea of full perfection. We are. The idea behind cancel culture was to hold the R. Kelly's, the Justice Smollett's, the Harvey Weinstein's of this world accountable for their actions. It wasn't created as a vindictive tool to ruin people who share different views on life from us. Right now, cancel culture is just toxic and carries no weight like it used to, because it is now a caricature. I mean, they cancelled Kanye, and 1 year plus later, the man is a billionaire. Kevin Hart is still selling out shows and all of that. I mean, we also thank God for Johnny Depp, God being so faithful. Amber Heard was exposed last year, and rumor is that she has lost her role in Aquaman and all of that. Yay to justice. So cancel culture was made for things like that. Now, I remember saying something about the danger of a single story. If you can, please, if you don't know what happened between Johnny Depp and Amber Heard, please read up on it. That is actually another thing, or another way cancel culture, you know, danger of a single story. You cancel somebody based on just one person's explanation, because, you know, believe every victim. Believe them first and stuff. Now, I'd like to hear your opinions on cancel culture. You can send me a voice note. You can also tweet at me at The Oge Show. You can follow me on Facebook at The Oge Show. You can follow me on Instagram too at The Oge Show. You can also send me a voice message again on this podcast. And if you enjoyed this podcast episode, please like this podcast episode and also subscribe to my podcast. It's usually fun, it's usually entertaining, it's usually informative, it's usually educating, you know, that's because that is here. So until next time, thank you for listening to this episode. My name is Oge. Please stay safe, do not forget to wash your hands and clean everywhere, and maintain social distancing. Bye.